the Gospel according to Matthew in the 25th chapter, the 31st through the 46th verses. This report is commonly referred to as the sheep and the goats. It's Jesus speaking, and Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I'd like to begin the message by stating simply what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. And this from the letter to the Ephesians in the second chapter, verses 4 through 8. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. May the Lord indeed bless his holy word." Last time we looked at this verse in detail, which is also from Matthew's Gospel in the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "If it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." We've been emphasizing all this year that Jesus brought in the kingdom of God. He activated the kingdom of God on earth through his teachings and his doings, healings and cleansings and freeing and bringing light. Last time there was one verse of scripture I thought summed things up pretty well. They brought to Jesus a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him. Just in that verse, we see that there are powers at work. Powers for evil and powers for good. Now, when that took place, the Pharisees were there and they saw the man healed, and they were in agreement that this suffering man was suffering from a demon or demons. Demons were evil. I'm not going to take a lot of time telling you about and discussing with you how it was universally accepted truth about demons in the ancient world. We think differently now. But the truth behind whatever name you want to give this suffering is this: it is a power opposed to God. It is a power at work in the world, and it is opposed to God. Let me put this in terms of illness. There have been theories in the past that illness is simply the absence of health, We know better than that now. Germs, bacteria, and disease are real and active agents to make you sick. You and I have white blood cells for the purpose of fighting and destroying infective and harmful agents and germs. Let me mention those words again. Your white blood cells are supposed to fight. They fight for you to stay well. And if the white blood cells get overwhelmed, they continue to fight. They're still in there fighting. Often the doctor and the doctor's medicine are brought in to help your body win the fight. It's no different in the spiritual world. It's no different in the spiritual world. Just as there is a fight for the good of your body, there is a spiritual battle for the good of your soul. Just because we start talking about spiritual things and religion doesn't mean everything is all smiles and sunshine. There are forces and people who are at war with God. There are spiritual forces opposed to God. There are people who are opposed to God, forces and people at war with God. We call that force Satan. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's what 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says. We've looked at the blind that Jesus restored sight to. We've looked at people who have been freed because they were bound by Satan. It's how the Bible describes these people, and we probably would have described these very same people as sick or diseased or suffering a certain type of illness. But Jesus declared them free. Jesus declared them released. Jesus declared them cleansed. Jesus made spiritual declarations about these people. And this work was what Jesus saw the Messiah's work to be when Messiah came to bring the kingdom of God. We read it last time. Jesus said, Matthew 12:28, if it's by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, Jesus' people had always believed that in the future, people would be rescued from the power of the evil one. What Jesus declared was that the time is now. Now is the time for the captives to be released. Now is the time for people in darkness to know the light. Now is the time for healing. Jesus told his disciples, I've given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. So why should we talk about hell? Well, the power of Satan is defeated. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. And that brings us to one of the curious things about hell, and we will refer to this over and over. Hell was not made for you. Hell was not made for people. Jesus said in his great story of Judgment Day, and remember, it's Jesus' own story. Then the king will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not prepared for you. Hell was not prepared for you. And yet, people will go there. People will go to hell. Now, why will people go there? Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? We'll get to that, but not today. But notice what Jesus says in the story he tells. To those going to the Heavenly Father, come, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. The kingdom prepared for you, your inheritance prepared for you since the creation of the world. That's what God intended. It's your inheritance prepared for you since the beginning. Your inheritance is what Jesus says was intended for you. So why are we going to talk about hell? We'll talk about hell for some of the reasons I've already mentioned. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to free people from being bound by the devil. Basically, Jesus came so you could get your inheritance. Jesus came so we wouldn't go to hell. Jesus came so that we wouldn't go to hell, a place made for the devil and his angels. But like a lot of things, a lot of ideas found in the Bible, many people make up their own minds about something without even looking at the Scriptures. That's why it's going to take us more than one Sunday, more than one sermon, to cover this topic. I have a quote that I took from another pastor I've listened to, and this is what he said. Jesus talks more about hell than any person in the New Testament. Jesus talks more about hell than any person in the New Testament. Well, that would make the topic pretty important, wouldn't it? But me, I can't just pass that statement along like it's true without checking it out for myself. And it isn't hard to check out. But I found something all the more amazing. There is only one person in the gospel books who talks about hell. There's only one person in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John who talks about hell. Would you like to guess who it is? It's Jesus. There's only one person in the gospel books who talks about hell, and it's Jesus. Jesus is the only person in the gospels who talks about hell. And we shouldn't talk about hell? Apparently, hell wasn't all that popular a topic in Jesus' day. So Jesus had to bring it up and talk about it. And Jesus brought it up over and over again. And so are we. This season, before Easter, we're going to bring up the topic of hell over and over again. And I'm almost certain, you will be surprised what we discover as we come to understand why Jesus thought the topic of hell was so important. Some of the misunderstanding about hell begins by people simply not believing in hell. I've seen some pretty depressing statistics, and those are the statistics of believers in Jesus who don't believe in hell. People who don't believe in something that Jesus himself talked about. That's pretty disturbing. There are other conversations that people have about hell, usually revolving around hell as being something that can't be a part of who God is. They usually argue that God wouldn't create a hell, or God wouldn't allow a hell, or God certainly wouldn't allow people to go to hell. I don't want to take a lot of time with this. I don't want to take time to argue about hell's existence. Hell exists. There are two reasons I know hell exists. One, the Bible says that hell exists. And two, Jesus says that hell exists. You know, if Jesus talked about hell once, that would be enough. But Jesus didn't talk about hell just once. Jesus mentions hell over and over. Now, do you have to believe in hell to receive salvation? No. The Bible doesn't say that. However, for some people, talk about hell is how they learn anything about salvation. And we will talk about salvation. Salvation is really the only reason to talk about hell. I mentioned that Jesus came so you could get your inheritance from the Heavenly Father. Remember, the devil has no works in heaven. The devil's works are all on earth. Jesus came to earth to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came so you could get your inheritance. Jesus came so we wouldn't go to hell. Jesus came to get us out. Jesus came to get us out of darkness and into the light. It's where we more clearly see the love of God, isn't it? Jesus didn't have to destroy the works of the devil in heaven. There aren't any works of the devil there. There are works of the devil here on earth. So Jesus came to earth to destroy the devil's works. And Jesus paid for that work with his life. But Jesus knew that. Jesus did it willingly. Jesus came and transferred people to the kingdom of God. Jesus redeemed people. Jesus released those who were in bondage. Now, I have watched many, many Marx Brothers films many times, and you may have to have someone explain to you this reference to the Marx Brothers in their films, but if you've never seen a Marx Brothers film, you should probably see one or two. But one of my favorite lines comes from the film entitled A Day at the Races, and in one scene that I really like, Harpo and Chico have been assigned to find out something about Groucho, who, as Dr. Hackenbush, has taken over leadership of a sanitarium. Chico brings Harpo in for medical examination, and Harpo's completely uncooperative. At one point, Harpo is dancing around the office, and Groucho's Dr. Hackenbush grabs him and says, "Come here while I snatch you from the jaws of death." In a somewhat crude way, to say it, that's exactly why Jesus came to us. Jesus came to snatch us from the jaws of death. Jesus came to snatch us from the jaws of death. The Bible says it, 1 Timothy 2:4. God wants everyone to be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. And in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. That would mean, of course, not just Jews, all people. And since this is what God wants salvation for us, God wants everyone to receive salvation, but there's a problem. And the problem is us. And we will take up the problem of us, salvation, our rewards, and hell in the coming weeks. Amen.